You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Glad to be with you today. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin on our website, kfuo.org, and look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section there. You can find out more about them. I encourage you to do that. Go check out Concordia University, Wisconsin, and send them a note. Say thanks for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. Thinking about summer? Thinking about summer for yourself, for young people, for your kids, for your grandkids, that high school student, that college student, some opportunities for the summer. I know it's only May, but it's time to start thinking about those summer activities. Thinking about maybe you or your kids, grandkids might be thinking about a vocation, serving the Lord's people, serving the Lord in the church. We're going to talk about some opportunities to do that. And to help us with that today, we have two guests joining us from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Deaconess Kristen Hodge. Welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thank you very much, Andy. It's great to be here.
Thanks. Looking forward to talking with you today about Phoebe Academy. Always enjoy our conversations. Joining us by phone today, the Reverend Landon Martin from Concordia Theological Seminary as well with Christ Academy. Pastor Martin, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it.
Great to have a chance to talk with you. I know you both are involved in talking with prospective students and helping them navigate those paths to becoming students at Concordia Theological Seminary, whether it's in deaconess formation or pastoral formation or other programs. And so I appreciate you taking time. I know, Pastor Martin, you're on the road right now, aren't you?
Well, actually, I was able to move my schedule a little bit. I'll be leaving in a couple of days for Oklahoma, actually.
All right. Well, and we certainly do lift up in our prayers those in Oklahoma and Texas who are affected by the storms over the last couple of days and today right now as well.
So, absolutely.
Pray you have safe travels as you head out there to talk with friends and prospective students for Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Two programs that happen primarily during the summer for those who might be considering church vocations, Phoebe Academy and Christ Academy. Let's start with Phoebe Academy. Deaconess Hodge, tell us a little bit about the history of Phoebe Academy.
We are entering our third year. And it has grown, and we are so excited because now this year we are going to have a proctor in our dorm. So if your parents don't want to come with you, they don't have to. That is good news for us. And I, of course, will be also staying there. So we will have a good time in the evening and hope to get a little sleep in there somewhere.
And that's coming up this summer. What are the dates for Phoebe Academy this year?
We are adding a day this year, and it will be July 9th through the 12th. And at 12th, we will have lunch together, and then we'll depart.
So Phoebe Academy is for young ladies who are considering deaconess formation. What is, I know we've talked about deaconesses before here on Faith and Family and other programs here at Worldwide KFUO. What is unique about the vocation of deaconess from your perspective?
What's unique about it for me is that you can come with any background whatsoever, any sort of education, nursing, teacher, biology, and come into it and get this layer of theology over whatever the background education is. And then that's what makes us unique. We can be put in service in very different locations and have just different job responsibilities based on our undergraduate education. And I think that's probably what sets us apart.
What are some of your fellow deaconesses doing in their service as deaconesses?
Well, there is one that's handling her church music and church choir. I also have a deaconess sister who is serving in South America, and she will just be finishing up coming back. And I think she'll be going back down there also. So let's see. And then I work here at the seminary. Mm-hmm. So we have three great places to work. We can work in a church, in missions, and also in institutions.
So what makes up deaconess formation? What are the things that you learn in preparation to become a deaconess? What are the things that shape who a deaconess is and what a deaconess does?
Well, in our education here, we take many of the same courses that the pastors going to become pastors take. It is just deep into our, you know, our Bible and looking at, excuse me, looking at our catechisms and just studying with the men.
Sure, sure. That formation, as I've heard it many times, is you know, study the scriptures, study the catechism. That it's a lot of catechesis, really, to prepare to go out into the field and serve in whatever ways you might be given as a deaconess. Some, as you pointed out, whether it's at an institution or in missions, might be doing some service in caring for others and providing through mercy work for others, or in a congregation, whether it might be teaching or caring for others, making visits. Deaconesses serve in a variety of ways. And so I can imagine that there's quite a bit that goes into that training and preparation, much of it being scripture and catechesis.
Oh, yes. And then the teachers that come along, they get the layer of theology over that. And some of them then go back out and help in schools.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, tell us about some of the details about Phoebe Academy coming up in July, I believe you said. What would we encounter? What would we experience during that stay, that visit during Phoebe Academy?
Well, when you get here, you will be greeted. Of course, we will have food and drinks ready for you, and we'll have a bed, and hopefully at some point during the weekend we'll get to use that. The cost is $100, and that covers room, board, and the weekend events. And if your parent, your mother decides to come with you, that $100 also is for her, so there is no additional cost for that. We will be looking at God's Word on mercy, meeting other deaconesses in the area, and of course we'll be meeting lifelong friends or making lifelong friends while we're here.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a servant event that we're going to take on, and I think I'll save that for when the girls get here.
Oh, very good. Well, we can find out more, I gather. Well, where can we find out more about Phoebe Academy?
On Concordia Theological Seminary's website, and that's www.ctsfw.edu. And you can go to the admission page and click on Phoebe Academy High School.
Very good. Very good. And again, who would be a good candidate? Are these high school students, college students?
High school students. And it's any girl going into ninth grade. Up to, if they finish their senior year, they're still welcome to come.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So high school students, mm-hmm. young ladies in high school are welcome to apply for Phoebe Academy coming up this summer, again, at Concordia Theological Seminary. Let's talk with the Reverend Landon Martin about Christ Academy. Pastor Martin, tell us a little bit about the history of Christ Academy.
Well, we're entering our 17th year this year. So we're pretty proud of the fact that it's been able to sustain and stay alive and grow throughout that amount of time. And it has progressively gotten bigger. We had about 50 young men last summer. We're hoping to keep that up or maybe grow. We get young men from all over the country. We even had a couple from Europe come over that heard about us through partner churches. So just a lot of neat and a lot of neat history there.
Well, very good. And so tell us what would we encounter in a week of or in that time at Christ Academy?
Well, I like to think of Christ Academy as kind of like a big next step off of confirmation. So you've kind of made that step, and then in continuing on, you know, a lifetime of learning and faith, Christ Academy offers a chance to kind of dig in a little bit deeper to the catechism, to Lutheran teachings on, you know, long gospel and the two kingdoms, and get a little bit of, you know, church history, dive in maybe to the Book of Concord for the first time. So just a little bit deeper theological studies, along with a lot of, you know, community building, the opportunity to be a part of the seminary community and chapel life and cafeteria, so on and so forth. And also to have a little bit of fun. We go to a baseball game, a water park for a day, because you obviously can't stay in the classroom all day.
What was your first involvement with Christ Academy?
Well, I came as a student to Christ Academy, many years ago. I've got a picture of it up in my office to kind of remind me what it's like on the other side of things, you know. But so my first involvement was, coming as a student, seeing the seminary community, studying a little bit of deeper theology for the very first time. And in a lot of ways, it led me down a path to where I am today. So I'm very grateful to the program.
And who teaches the courses for Christ Academy?
Sure. It's kind of a mix. We have, of course, our seminary faculty, our own seminary faculty teach, many of the courses. And then also, we try to enrich our partnership in the Concordia system by having classes taught by professors from all of our different Concordia universities around the country. And also some area pastors come in and teach some practical theology type things, especially for the young men looking towards possible pastoral service to kind of get a glimpse into the idea of what it's like to be a pastor. That can be very helpful.
Well, very good. It sounds like a great event to get in and dig deeper in terms of theology and studying God's word, helping learn more about the catechism and, as you pointed out, the Lutheran confessions, to really get a kind of a picture of what you would be studying in that pastoral formation, that seminary education to prepare to become a pastor as well.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. It's kind of that first glimpse. You mentioned that I travel a lot meeting prospective students, and students and parents alike ask me all the time about, maybe a high school student that's considering, well, what can they do now to see if maybe this is where the Lord's leading them? And this is the best thing to do. Just kind of come out here for a couple of weeks, dive into some theology, talk to some people from around the country and the world, maybe thinking the same things you are, and be able to see if it's right for you.
What's your favorite part of Christ Academy?
Oh, my goodness. I like every day we have an event sort of at the end of the day called All Academy. And it's after a long day of chapel and classes and, team building events, stuff like that. And we kind of all relax and we have some satirical songs and cartoons that they make up and skits. And it's just kind of a great time to sort of blow off steam as a group. And in a lot of ways, it kind of brings the group closer together. So that's my favorite thing at the end of every day.
Well, you mentioned chapel, and I gather chapel is an important part of both Christ Academy and Phoebe Academy. Deacon Asaj, where is chapel a part of Phoebe Academy?
We go right along with the daily chapel schedule and just go to chapel and enjoy each and every time. So we have one in the morning, first thing, and then we have one at 10 o'clock, one before supper, and then another one to end our day.
Very good. And Pastor Martin, where is Christ Academy, or where is chapel? How is it a part of Christ Academy?
In a lot of ways, it's the same as Phoebe Academy, which is the same as, an average day in the life of a seminary student here on our campus, where you begin and end your day with prayer in the chapel and have a couple more stops there during the day, just kind of always centering your life, around the word of the Lord.
Hmm. Well, very good. And I know that that's a part of regular campus life at Concordia Theological Seminary for the students in the other programs, in the MDiv or the Master of Divinity program, any of the routes leading to pastor or deaconess and the graduate studies as well, that the chapel is just kind of the high point of life there on campus. In fact, if I recall correctly, the chapel is architecturally designed in such a way that you can see it from just about anywhere on campus, right?
It is, yeah. It's very intentionally meant to be the center of life here. You're right. You can always see it architecturally. And in a lot of ways, the campus is built that all the sidewalks sort of lead you into the chapel.
Very cool. Now, will there be, in terms of Christ Academy, will there be any, I know there will be studying, that there will be chapel, and you mentioned some of the fellowship and fun things in the evening. What other activities will they be doing? I think you mentioned going to a baseball game or things like that, or any service projects?
Yeah, we do a lot of local service as far as they dig in and help stock shelves for seminary families at our co-op, in the food co-op, the clothing co-op. There are different times when they can shadow area pastors, things like that, dig in local congregations, and that's primarily our servanthood focus, I suppose.
Outstanding. Well, who would sign up for Christ Academy?
Any young man from confirmation through college, which is a huge gap, but we're able to kind of separate off in age groups so you're not overwhelmed or underwhelmed, I suppose. And anyone that wants to study a little bit more theology in that age group that's, you know, interested in the possibility of church work especially, but really any young man that just maybe shined in confirmation and wants to dig in a little deeper would have a great time.
Very good. And again, I gather we can go to the website for Concordia Theological Seminary to find out more and to register.
Absolutely. ctsfw.edu/Christ Academy.
Very good. Is there a cost associated with Christ Academy?
There is. For 2 weeks, room, board, all the programming, it's $500, but we do have need-based scholarships available as well.
Outstanding. Outstanding. So with the Christ Academy coming up this summer, Phoebe Academy coming up this summer, I bet you all are pretty busy. Any other events or opportunities for those who might be considering Concordia Theological Seminary, whether it's for deaconess formation or pastoral formation or graduate studies?
Absolutely. We have in the fall a retreat weekend for college age students considering pastoral or diaconal service that Deaconess Hodge and I put on together. Called Christ Academy College, and that's any college student across the country can come out over Reformation weekend for 4 or 5 days and experience a lot of the same programming just at a higher level as our summer high school academies.
And Deaconess Hodge, what are you looking forward to most about Phoebe Academy this year?
Well, building on what we did last year and seeing all of my girls from last year, the ones that didn't graduate, and just building on what we did last year with the service projects also.
Very good. Pastor Martin, what are you looking forward to most this year with Christ Academy?
I'm excited to see these young men from all over the country and see what they've been up to in the last year. And I don't know, in a lot of ways, church work is relational, and I'm just excited to, kind of bring the family back together, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Bring those guys back together. I can personally speak. I have a student, a young man in my congregation who has attended Christ Academy before. He's now a college student and only has great things to say. I think he's headed up there to help out with Christ Academy this summer as well. I think Ian will be heading up there to spend some time helping out with Christ Academy.
Yeah, he's a part of our college internship program for the very first time, so we're excited to have him.
Oh, that's great. Tell us a little bit about the college internship program. You have just a one or two or a handful of college students helping out, keeping things running smoothly?
Sure. We take four proctors every year to help lead groups of students. They stay in the dorms with the students, kind of help get them from place to place, answer questions, lead theological discussions when questions arise, that kind of stuff. And then we also, we just started this year having an internship program for 5 additional college students. And those college students will be responsible for aiding in the dorm life as well, but also keeping a social media presence. We're going to try to have some kind of live tweeting from the lectures this year and just really help us out with the logistical challenges of having an additional 50 people running around.
Well, very good. You all are doing outstanding work there. Again, the website, CTSFW, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, ctsfw.edu, and look in the admissions section, is that correct, to find information on Christ Academy and Phoebe Academy?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, very good. Well, thank you both for being my guests this morning, sharing some time with us, and encouraging our young folks to consider Christ Academy and Phoebe Academy this summer and find out more about that, becoming a pastor, becoming a deaconess. Now, quick question as we wrap up today. If you attend Phoebe Academy or Christ Academy, do you have to become a pastor or a deaconess?
Absolutely not.
So this can be helpful in getting an idea of whether or not this is a vocation you want to pursue.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, thank you both for being our guests today on Faith and Family. Deaconess Kristen Hodge, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, and Phoebe Academy. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you so much, Andy, for this opportunity.
My pleasure, my pleasure. And the Reverend Lannon Martin with Concordia Theological Seminary and Christ Academy, thanks for being our guest on Faith and Family today.
You're welcome. Thanks, Andy.
You bet. God bless you both and all the work that you're doing and helping young people and old people consider these vocations of deaconess and pastor and supporting others in their continuing to pursue their vocations. Thanks for all the great work you're doing. Coming up in just a little bit, we have more conversations here on Faith and Family. It's time to talk about moms. If you haven't, if you don't remember, and I don't know how you could forget, but Mother's Day is coming up this Sunday. We're going to talk about moms, particularly the vocation of mother. We're going to talk with Linda Bartlett. She is the former president of Lutherans for Life, an author and founder of Titus II for Life. Hope you can stick around for that conversation. We're going to have a great conversation with her, hear her perspective on this vocation of mother. Stick around for more Faith and Family here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
No, I'm an orphan, and now I must make my own way.
Will?
Tunnel. I remember Keith. I remember my baby brother crying. And my mother's red shawl.
Don't miss the next Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Pro-life sidewalk counselors outside a Kansas abortion mill saw the abortionist Cheryl Chastain leave. Later, they saw a patient stagger across the parking lot in obvious pain. She had been kicked out of the mill so the staff could go home. This woman sat on the curb, unable to even stand until her ride arrived a half hour later. Abortionists should never leave until the last patient is discharged. Abortionist Philip Rand was called back to the abortion mill to help a woman who was hemorrhaging, but refused because he was on his way to another abortion mill. The woman died from blood loss. In legal abortion mills, women are being kicked to the curb or worse, paying with their lives while killing their babies. Legal abortion is back alley abortion. The only difference? They've relocated the door.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Cross Defense, the apologetic show for inquiring minds of all ages. Cross Defense airs Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. on air, online, on demand, right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Book lovers, rejoice. You don't need to wait until November for the CPH Warehouse Sale. Going on right now, you can restock your bookshelves with great books and resources at the CPH Spring Online Warehouse Sale. It's a three-day event, and you'll save big on books and Bibles and children's books and more at CPH during this Spring Online Warehouse Sale. The sale is going on right now, May 6th through 8th. Their web address again, cph.org. Again, at cph.org.
Hello from Michigan. We are Roger and Leela Thurow, members of Our Savior Lutheran Church, located in Scottville, just a few miles from the Lake Michigan shoreline. For the past 3 years, Leela and I have been day sponsors on KFUO in honor of our wedding anniversary. The voice of KFUO streams into our home, bringing the blessings of programs like Law and Gospel, Thy Strong Word, Book Talk, Moments of Assurance, and many more. If the messenger of good news has blessed you, we would like to encourage you to consider becoming a KFUO day sponsor. This opportunity to be a KFUO day sponsor reminds me of the words of a great hymn. If you cannot speak like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus. You can say he died for all.
This is Mary Schmidt. To be a day sponsor, call me 314-996-1518.
Worldwide KFUO is easy to find on AM 850 in St. Louis and online at KFUO.org. Through our contacts page online, you can ask us questions. And there is good old snail mail, too. Our street address is KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism. Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news for more than 90 years.
Brandon Heath here, DC in La Mesa, California, and one of the organizers for Orange Nation Young Adult Servant Event. We are inviting 18 to 30-year-olds to participate in the 2015 LCMS Young Adult Servant Event in New Orleans, July 16th to the 19th. We are partnering with Camp Restore, and we'll be doing cleanup and minor repair to homes and churches around the New Orleans area. It is also a great time to connect with young adults from across our synod and share in our hope in Christ. For more information and online registration, go to psdyouth.net. Click the events tab and select Young Adult Servant Event. Or contact us at nationorange@gmail.com. Thanks and God bless.
You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining us for this segment, Linda Bartlett. She's former president of Lutherans for Life, an author and founder of Titus II for Life, a wife, mom, and grandmother as well. Linda, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you.
It's great to finally get a chance to talk with you, and excited today to celebrate moms and to talk about the vocation of mother. Let's talk about your background. Well, you're a wife, a mom, a grandmother. You've served as president of Lutherans for Life. You've written and published quite a bit, actually, and one significant book. We'll talk about that a little bit near the end of our program as well today. And also founder of Titus II for Life. You must stay pretty busy.
There are a lot of opportunities, Andy. This is a wide world. As KFU knows, of opportunities. I think, you know, you asked earlier where I learned the most about motherhood. I had never really understood it to be a vocation. So as a Christian woman, I'd have to say I learned it backwards. I think, in other words, I experienced it first. I think it was my husband and my sons that taught me about the vocation of motherhood. I think I've always known what God's word says about male and female and fathers and mothers and the order of creation, but it didn't mean as much to me until my husband and my sons helped me see the reality of it and the sense of it. And I could also see then later in my own marriage and motherhood how my mom and my grandmothers had been mentoring me just by remaining faithful to God's vocation of motherhood instead of bending to the powerful voices of radical feminism, which goes back even as far as post-World War II. So I think I learned it on the job, and that strengthened my understanding of what God had been telling me all along.
I suppose if we were to liken it, if we were to compare it to, for example, the vocation of pastor, the seminary makes a seminarian, but the parish makes a pastor. You can study, you can learn, you can have a worldview that includes a perspective on what that might mean, what it might be. But until you have that calling, until you're given that vocation, you don't fully understand what that vocation is. until you stay in those shoes.
You put your finger right on it, I think, Andy. And maybe that is why it is such a challenge today for a young woman. She's told to go out and be all of these things, whatever she wants to be, you know, get the education, have the career. In the meantime, she's told that one day she'll get to be a wife and a mother, but those are not vocations to her. Those are not things that she's setting out to do. So while she's learning all these other things and she's taken up with this progressive, idealistic culture that's becoming much less Christian and much more, shall we say, secular humanist, she's in conflict with who God has really made her to be as a woman. So if she has no friends, no support, no encouragement to ponder what it means to be a wife and a mother and to indeed keep her eyes open for someone that's going to be a good father to her children, mm-hmm. she isn't going to learn until maybe years later that she maybe missed the most grand opportunities to consider what it means to make a home, what it means to be that wife that is supportive and encouraging and indeed a co-steward of the world, of life.
Do you think we have devalued this vocation of mother, this vocation of wife and mother in well, at least in North America alone? Do you think we've devalued it, that we put emphasis on other vocations instead?
I do, and I think it has happened subtly. It has happened in many cases intentionally. Satan does not want the woman to be the mother of life, which is what Eve means. He does not want that family. He does not want the unity of a home. He does not want generations, anniversaries, and birthdays. He does not want those things. So he is always at work. The enemy of life is always at work, leading the woman to look elsewhere. The world, of course, is never really our friend. We think it is, but it is not. And I think the world really works against women. There's no end to what a woman can do. I think women are multi-talented. They are gifted in so many ways, but it seems there's less encouragement for her to put those gifts and abilities to work for her own home, for her children, for posterity. It's usually do what you want to do and do what makes you feel good about yourself. I have a young friend who is not feeling so good about herself right now because she is longing for a husband and a home, but she's no one's wife and she's no one's homemaker. She is instead doing battle out there in the world and relying on our emotions instead of what she knows God has told her is true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, Andy, that we're being led outside the home to find an identity in career and in maybe what we can make financially, even to compete with men. And then there's a void. Who fills that void?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that the vocation of a father has been devalued as well, in a similar way that you know, a father or a man who you know, cuddles and snuggles with kids and plays games with them or sits down and colors with them, historically hasn't always been viewed as you know, the strong and manly type that. and in a sense has been devalued. I think that's changing. I think that perception, I think we're starting to value fathers that spend time with children and interact with children and that are loving husbands as well. I think that's becoming more valuable in our valued more in our culture today. But when I think about moms and the vocation of mother, I think it's been a while since I had this realization, but if you think about it, who influences society and culture the most, especially the next generation of leaders and those who really shape society are moms. Moms have the most influence over children and their worldview, their education, the things that children aspire to is quite often shaped by moms. Yet we've devalued this vocation of mother, but they're the ones who really, I think, in my opinion, have the most influence on society and culture.
I think it was Martin Luther who said that the female sex is merciful by nature. It's born to show mercy and to cherish, just as a man is born to protect. And so that woman, in respect to her infant, is showing great mercy, but she is also, as you say, influencing, encouraging, building up, and actually introducing that child to their true identity while the man is standing at the door of his home, protecting and guarding against the enemy of life, which is something we don't think about too much anymore. We're not in a period of war where there's an enemy literally standing at the door, but I think a man is called to do that, the enemy being the world itself, sin, and Satan. So he is standing at the door protecting. She's in that home, nurturing, welcoming her children as well as a neighborhood of children. Then he also enters into that, and he finds his place of, as you say, you painted a beautiful picture of him playing with his children, interacting with them, and he is teaching them as well. Both are needed, and I love what a woman doctor said back in the late 1800s. She said the male and the female are not in competition. They're the two eyes of the human race, and both are needed for proper perspective.
How did the women in your life influence your understanding of wife and mother?
I think, first of all, Andy, they influenced me to be faithful. I guess maybe that's what I saw the most in my grandmothers, mm-hmm. and my mom. I know their lives were not easy. I know they were sacrificing. I know they didn't get to have a lot of the things they wanted to have, and yet they were living well. I think what they taught me is that they had to be selfless and they had to be self-controlled. And that meant thinking of others first, and probably that's what made them the happiest. My grandmothers and my mom were all talented women. They could have done so many different things. They could have done them all outside the home. But I think in faithfulness and response to God, they applied what gifts they had to be used within the home for their husbands and for their children and for their neighbors. What they did within the church, within the congregation, the community, this taught me that, no, we're not confined four walls of the house. We take out our gifts and our abilities, but ultimately they're used with regard to the benefits of home and family and neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. How does that compare to today's worldviews and to today's many perspectives on women, mothers, wives, in this vocation of mother?
I see two things, Andy. I see that women sometimes are forced to go away from where they might really most like to be. They maybe want to be wife and mom, to have that home, to be in the home and interacting, and not called away to go outside to have that job that they need to have for financial reasons. I see also that some have been groomed and told you must go out there and be that president of a company to hold that position, to apply your 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years of schooling, of college and university education, and then put on hold the home and the family. I see two things happening, and in either place, she's in conflict with mm-hmm. herself, with her body, with her womanhood, with who God has made her to be. I think we're often told that everything that's naturally womanly has to be minimized, managed, or distorted into what it's not. And then what happens to the woman?
Minimized, managed, or distorted. That's a... We do that with just about any vocation.
And so it is, living in the world.
How can we make a shift, a move? Do you think we're moving more toward an appreciation and valuing of a proper understanding of the vocation of mother?
I think we can. Or you know what else we could do, Andy, is just start fresh. Maybe as far as we've come in this chaotic, upside-down world, maybe it's hard to return to what we once knew or are told about. Maybe we start fresh. Maybe it is a younger generation that asks the questions of, hey, wait a minute, we see this isn't working. We see mom is out there, out in industry or out in some career outside the home, but we see that she really wants to be home. And what can we do to help her do that? We see dads that are being separated from their families. What can we do to help reunite fathers to their homes and families, their wives? I think there's always hope with the next generation. And maybe if we ask the questions, if we promote the dialogue, maybe it is the younger generation that will say, hey, we've got a great idea. God had a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Let's consider it. What does that mean for us? I think there's always hope. I see generations of hope. I'm the opposite of Satan's doom and gloom and death. And the liars had our attention long enough. It's time to hear truth.
What about the woman, the young woman, or even you know, middle-aged and older, who wants to work outside the home, who wants to pursue a career, who wants to study engineering, who wants to work and study and be the best in that field?
She may indeed have a call to that. Those may be her gifts. She may have to ask then, what are my priorities and to what end? Where can I be of the most, well, let's go back to who we are called to be. Women are helpers. That is a vocation. How will we best help? Will we help to build up or to tear down? Will we help to make my personal world better or the world for our family and our neighbors? How will we most help, best help, and to what end? That is, I think, the question that the woman who is called to be the helper should ask. It is not to deny her uniquely given gifts and talents, her wisdom, her knowledge, but how will she put it to use and to honor whom?
And I think that's a pretty good question, or serious questions to ask ourselves, whether male or female. You know, how will what I'm given to do, how will my vocation, my work, will it support my family or provide for my family, but how will it affect my neighbor as well?
Exactly. And I know, I remember reading the story of a very, very successful woman attorney who actually, when she became pregnant and she had twins, she decided to put her career on hold to have those girls. And while in the hospital, she looked at the nurse and said, I know how to be an attorney. I know how to engage the world. I don't know how to be a mom. And the nurse told her, you will learn. It will come to you. And she said, it was the best thing I ever did. Being an attorney waited for her. She could go back to it. But being a mom was an opportunity that she wouldn't have again. And she had that opportunity to raise daughters with the support and encouragement of her husband, their father, to raise them to be young women who understood their identity and their call, their womanhood.
And how that identity, how that vocation or the vocations to which they're given serves their neighbor. So much of what we're concerned with in our culture here, you know, in the U.S., is about me. How is this going to serve me? Am I going to make a lot of money. I know as children, especially in, you know, in my generation, we were told from very early on that we need to you need to get a good education, not just high school diploma, but you need to get a college degree, at least a bachelor's degree. And then even later on, being told you need to have a master's degree in order to have a really good job so that you can have a really good income and do well for yourself.
And then, Andy, think of what's happening during that. Let's go clear back to, let's say, elementary school, and we've got abstinence education going on, or basically sex education, and they're told, oh, marriage is going to be wonderful, that whole relationship of marriage, the sexual relationship, wonderful, but put it on hold, wait, get your degree, get your master's, pay off the debt, get your home, get settled in your career, and then start. Get married and start your family. Wait a minute, what have you just done? What cruel thing have we done to that young woman or that young man in telling them to wait all that time to do what really does come naturally, that love and attraction and bond and wanting to be together and starting a family and making a home under that covering of marriage. We just said, wait, put it on hold. Get the degree, pay off the debt, get the job, and then, what, at age 30, 35, consider marriage and family?
Sure.
It's a little backwards.
It is. You know, I look around, and now, granted, I took a little bit longer to follow through that plan, but you know, I'm probably about 10 years behind my classmates, my peers. In terms of things, I finished the college degree and went into a profession and continued my education with a graduate degree or a master's degree as well, and then pursued marriage, and now we have a child, and we're truly grateful for all that. But it's kind of funny looking back. All of my peers, you know, they have children who are 8, 9, 10 years old. I have you know, almost 2 year old.
Well, it's like I said earlier, I had to learn on the spot, too. We do. We learn through experience. I do remember a young pastor coming to me when I was finished speaking one day, and he said, Linda, I really disobeyed my parents. And I looked at him, and he said, well, I married early, and we started our family young. And he said, it was because we could do this together that I was able to get through seminary and to do the things I needed to do. But we were doing it together. She was my helpmate. Mm-hmm. She helped me do it, and I have not forgotten her role in this as well, her talents, her abilities, what she's contributed to all of this, the wisdom that she's provided. So I think we do need to rethink, what is God's plan? What is his design? And have we added to it? Have we been like Eve, who added to God's word and inserted her own idea, her own words? Have we done that with God, with marriage, with this relationship between men and women?
Not only inserting our own ideas, but those ideas being focused on self and what I want. You know, we look at that fall in the garden, and God gives them all this beautiful creation to enjoy. What's the one thing they focus on? What's the one thing we humans focus on? That which God did not give us.
Exactly. It's what we covet. It's what we want. And then we become God ourselves. Civilizations have always found great wisdom in teaching men self-control. Men can be maybe naturally aggressive, perhaps even sexually aggressive. We have taught them to be self-controlled. We've used to do that with women. We would teach them to be self-controlled with their emotions. Don't just do whatever you feel like doing. Don't put yourself first. Today, we've let that go. Oh, do whatever you want to do, woman. Feel yourself. Find yourself. Let your emotions be known. We need to practice self-control. And again, that focus, as you've just said, God has given us so much. He gave everything in the garden, and we want the one thing that he claims for himself.
God have mercy on us.
Yes.
And thanks be to God in Christ Jesus, he has. Two things that I want to mention. We have just a few minutes left. I wanted to point out two things. Titus 2 for Life. Tell us about Titus 2 for Life.
Started it after years of being out among Lutherans in the congregations in our schools, talking with parents and children and with pastors and families on life issues, and then listening to what the young people were saying, what women and men were saying, hearing sadness in some cases, regret and grief, hearing women who've had abortions, hearing women who realized only later what mattered most, and so thought, what about mentoring? How do we mentor women and men to that design that God has called us to be, to find great joy in being a male or a female, whether we're married or single, whether we're young or old? And so Titus 2 came into being, and I just meet with groups of women and encourage them using the model from Titus 2, where older men are mentoring the younger men and older women mentor younger women. And it was a model St. Paul was inspired to give to young Titus in the midst of a very pagan and chaotic world. It was a model that has proven to be magnificent for generations.
And where can we find out more about Titus 2 for Life?
The website, Titus, the number 2 dash the number 4 life.org. Also have a blog site, mm-hmm. azerwoman.wordpress.com, and also a book website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell us about your book.
The Failure of Sex Education in the Church, Mistaken Identity, Compromised Purity. That came into being after the years in Lutherans for Life and the Titus II experiences. Just hearing people confused about their identity and hearing people very comfortable and familiar with their sexual identity, but not with their God-given identity as male or female, as their holy identity in Jesus Christ. So it's a book that has a lot of questions with answers, resources, doing quite a few presentations on that right now, where I work together with pastors on a panel, and we discuss the created order, biblical manhood and womanhood, marriage and family, and God's instruction for purity.
Hmm. And I gather we can find that on the Titus 2-4life.org, Titus 2-4life.org. We can find information about the book on there as well, correct?
On there or Amazon.com.
Very good. Well, Linda, I know we're running out of time here, but I certainly want to say thanks for the conversation today. Any special moms or anyone you want to give a shout-out to today for Mother's Day as we wrap up our conversation?
I would love to give a shout-out to my two daughter-in-laws, who are terrific moms, and they are a joy and an honor as Christian young women to have in our family. So thanks, Andy, for letting me do that.
Sure, you bet. Linda Bartlett, former president of Lutherans for Life, author and founder of Titus 2 for Life, wife, mom, grandmother, and a great conversation today. Linda, thank you so much for being our guest on Faith and Family. Great to have a chance to talk with you.
Thank you so much, Andy. God's blessings on you.
Thank you. God bless you and all the work that you're doing. I certainly appreciate it. Hope we can have you back in the future. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word, right here on Listener Supported Worldwide, KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.